athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event, then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
Thank you for joining me on another edition of Box to Row. Look, Tennessee State has got a big time battle on Saturday versus SEMO or Southeastern Missouri. And a lot is on the line for Tennessee State in this football game. We've seen Tennessee State under Eddie George really fight, try to establish itself. Well, this is the year that Tennessee State is right at the top of the Big South OVC. There are like five scenarios here where four different teams could either win the Big South OVC or receive the automatic qualifier to the playoffs. And so, it's a lot to kind of go through. Let me just go through the scenario that would give Tennessee State the automatic qualifier. So, if Tennessee State defeats Southeastern Missouri and both Tennessee Tech and UT Martin lose, then Tennessee State would finish 6-2 and win the automatic qualifier through head-to-head tiebreakers. In this scenario, Tennessee State and SEMO would share the conference title as co-champions. So the bottom line is all Tennessee State can do right now, but it controls its own destiny. Well, really, the only thing it can do is win. Win and then let everything else take care of itself. The bottom line, however, if Tennessee State, and that's really the only way that Tennessee State, through these different scenarios, that Tennessee State would even have a shot at winning the automatic qualifier and a share of the Big South OVC championship. But I'm going to tell you this. If now Tennessee State, okay, right now is having a really, really good season. Tennessee State sits at 8-3 on the year. A 9-3 mark for the Tigers would, regardless of all the other things that may or may not happen, would almost certainly put the Tigers into the playoffs. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that would be the first time since 2013 that Tennessee State would have gone to the FCS playoffs. Tennessee State hasn't won it's been many, many years since Tennessee State had won, I guess, what would have been considered an OVC championship and then now a Big South OVC championship. But the at-large berth, if I remember, and by the way, Tennessee State won a first-round game in the playoffs. I believe it was against Butler. It was either 2013 or 2012. I believe it was 2013. But a lot on the line for Tennessee State. Now, a loss by the Tigers, now you're looking at an 8-4 mark. And you have to ask, how does the committee look at an 8-4 mark? Okay, the Big South OVC is a really solid conference. But let's look at the four losses for Tennessee State. At North Dakota State. Everybody loses at North Dakota State. Now, the problem is that the Tigers also have a loss against Tennessee Tech. Now, of course, it depends on how the committee looks at it, because that game was at Tennessee Tech, and Tennessee Tech still is in the running for a championship. And then also a loss to UT Martin at home. So, you know, it'll be a little bit tougher. It's not out of the realm of possibility, because it always depends on what other teams are doing. We know that the CAA is the strongest conference in FCS, going to get the most teams in the playoffs. It's the most respected conference, so we know that the committee is going to look at the CAA differently than it looks at any other conference. Plus, you've got like five or six teams that are ranked in the top 25. The top 25 is part of this equation, but not what determines everything. All right, so this is exciting because, you know, you look at what North Carolina Central was able to do last year and making it to the playoffs. I think we pretty much knew that the Eagles would be in the playoffs because of the strong season that the Eagles had, despite losing head-to-head to Howard, and not and that meant that North Carolina Central did not win the conference championship. But at a 9-2 mark, we knew that the Eagles, because of all of the non-conference wins, the Eagles had some really, really good non-conference wins, okay? So you look at that and you say, okay, well, how does this bowl for Tennessee State? A 9-3 record, I think, gets you in. An 8-4 record is going to be a little bit dicey, but again, it depends on some of the other teams as well. So we've got a lot to talk about, not only with Tennessee State, with North Carolina Central as well, having an opportunity to participate also with an at-large bid to the FCS playoffs. We know South Carolina State has wrapped up the MEAC, and I don't know if they still do the whole tie. I don't think, even if it was a tiebreaker, let's say South Carolina State lost this weekend, Central won, and you got 2 1-loss teams, but South Carolina State would win on the head-to-head. Regardless, South Carolina State will go to the Celebration Bowl and will take on the winner of Jackson State and Southern. We know that Jackson State and Southern are going to play in the SWAC championship game in a couple of weeks by virtue of Jackson State's victory over Alabama State, by virtue of Southern's victory over Arkansas Pine Bluff. So things are really winding down. We got a lot to get to today here on Box to Row. Joining us today here on Box to Row, we're going to switch a little bit of gears. We're going to talk some soccer, and we're going to talk with one of the best soccer players in the United States, Sophia Smith. Sophia Smith of the U.S. Women's National Team, also of the Portland Thorns, going to join us today here. As a matter of fact, in a couple of moments here on Box to Row. Also, we're going to talk some Bayou Classic. I've got some Bayou Classic tickets to give away, as we gave some tickets away on last week as well. And Candace Brock of the Bayou Classic, going to talk some Bayou Classic for us today here on the program. Also joining us today here on Box to Row, Quentin Bell, linebacker for the Miami Dolphins, playing some really good football, played his collegiate ball at Prairie View A&M. And Quentin Bell also going to join us today here on Box to Row. We're super stacked today here on the program. As always, you can participate here on Box to Row. Hit us up via Twitter, or X as it were, at Box to Row, BOXTOROW, and on Facebook, BOX, the number 2ROW. And towards the end of the program, I'm going to tell you how you can get some free Bayou Classic tickets. We gave a pair away. The correct answer, as a matter of fact, to last week's trivia question was Sammy White. Sammy White was the wide receiver that played with Doug Williams during Doug Williams' freshman and sophomore years at Grambling. So we're giving away some more tickets a little bit later on, so be sure to keep it locked. As we continue here on the program, we're joined by a young lady who is part of the U.S. Women's National Team in soccer, also part of the Portland Thorns, one of the faces of women's soccer in the United States. Sophia Smith joins us here on the program. Welcome to the program, Sophia.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Definitely. I am too. And let's start here. A couple of weeks ago, the team played Iceland. You had a goal in the game. Your thoughts on the team's win a couple of weeks ago against Iceland?
Yeah, I mean, it was a really good game for sure. I think for us just getting back together as a team for the first time since the Olympics. Always, you know, feels good to just reunite with each other and get the good vibes going again. And then obviously we want to always, you know, get a win, and it felt good to get a win, get a goal, and just, yeah, be back playing with my friends.
Take us through the goal you scored. It was an amazing goal. And I mean, Sophia, it was a lot going on that play.
There was a lot going on. I remember it bounced back out to me, and I saw like an opening in the net, and I knew the keeper couldn't see what I saw because there were defenders blocking it. So, yeah, I mean, I just went for it. I was feeling good. I was feeling confident. And, yeah, if you don't shoot, you can't score.
No doubt about it. Now, you kind of working your way back into, you know, into form a bit, if you will?
Yeah, no, I've been dealing with an injury since the Olympics, really, and have, you know, taken the last few weeks off of club play as well to just rehab and get that feeling a lot better. But I think, yeah, everyone's kind of at a point in club season where towards the end there's heavy legs, there's nicks and knacks here and there, and it's just kind of managing yourself, managing your body, and contributing in any way that you can.
Yeah, and I mean, 2024 has been a really, really busy year for you. You had the Olympics, you had the qualifying, you had the club season, you're playing now. How busy and what has 2024 been like for you? I would think this is as busy a season as you've ever had.
Yeah, it's definitely been a busy year. It started with the Gold Cup that we had back in January, February. And it really has not slowed down since then. And honestly, even before that, last year we had the World Cup, and it's just been, it's been a lot back to back to back. So it's definitely been rewarding. It's been fun. Obviously, I love the game. And yeah, there's always something new to look forward to, something exciting that's happening. And the Olympics, I think, was definitely the highlight in terms of, you know, soccer this year for me. But it's just, it's honestly just been fun and very enjoyable.
We're talking a little soccer with one of the biggest stars in the United States, Sophia Smith, here on Box to Row. We've got more on the other side with Sophia Smith still to come. Some Bayou Classic talk and Miami Dolphins linebacker Quentin Bell. Keep it locked. Again, up next, our conversation with Sophia Smith continues.
Home sales are down 31% across America, and mortgage rates are on the rise. If your home is not selling, you need to call our experts right now at the Quick Cash Hotline. We have investors ready to pay you cash for your property, regardless of the condition it's in. Most of our closings can happen in about 7 days. You don't have to worry about a buyer getting approved. You don't have to worry about showing your home. One simple call right now. Just pick up the phone and call us. I'll give you the number in a second. We will negotiate with you a price to buy your home. It's that simple. If you're ready to sell your home right now, any home, any condition, and you don't want to put money into it, no problem. We'll buy it from you. Call right now. It's a free call.
800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. That's 800-470-7113.
On last week's From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware.
Dr. Alvin Parker, the head football coach at Virginia Union.
You know, I probably got to do a better job as a coach because I think we had opportunities to win those games. I kind of put that, you know, a lot of the onus on myself, you know, being the leader of the program. So I think everything starts at the top, but the guys play well. You know, anytime you can do some of the things we've done this year in terms of with our defense, in terms of with our offense and special teams, kind of all putting it together, and some of the numbers and things we put up and done, I think it just speaks volumes to the type of team we got. And I'm glad we get an opportunity to defend our title this weekend.
From the Press Box to Press Row is one of the hottest sports talk shows in the country. Join Donald each week as he takes you on a journey through the world of HBCU sports and pro sports and interviews with top sports and entertainment figures. That's From the Press Box to Press Row each week on your favorite station.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row.
Box to Box Row.
Box to Row.
Box to Row.
We track down the names making news in sports. From the Press Box to Press Row. It's Donald Ware. From the Press Box to Press Row.
Sophia Smith is one of the stars of the U.S. Women's National Team in soccer, as she joins us here on the program. And in doing some research, Sophia, for this conversation, you left Stanford early. And so you decided to leave early and come out and turn professional. Can you kind of speak to that? And really, that's not something you see every day, particularly in women's sports. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But women's sports obviously is on the rise. But, you know, just speak to coming out and turning, coming out early to turn professional.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the decision to leave Stanford was not, it was not an easy one. And it was not the one that I took lightly at all. I mean, since I was young, I wanted to be a professional soccer player. And I knew that there were all types of different routes I could take in getting there. I could have not gone to college at all. I could have played all 4 years. There's all, you know, there's all these different scenarios, but I felt like when I was ready, it was just like a gut feeling that I was ready for a new challenge. I was ready to kind of put myself in an uncomfortable position and just grow in that way. And it was just, it was my own gut, my own heart telling me that this was the best thing for me. This is the best timing for that. And I mean, I just, you know, I had people close to me that supported me and, you know, kind of guided me through this. But at the end of the day, it was my decision. It's my life. And I just felt like that was what was best for me. And yeah, I mean, I enjoyed my 2 years I had at Stanford. I think Stanford is a really special place. I met my fiance, my now fiance there. So I wouldn't have changed it for the world, but I also haven't looked back since. And yeah, I'm really happy with how it worked out.
No doubt about it. I think last year you look at the rise of women's college basketball with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. And of course, what's going on in the WNBA. But now this has been going on with respect to soccer for quite some time. Can you speak to that? And you're one of the stars and the faces of women's soccer.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's rightfully so that women's sports are growing at the rate that they're growing. I mean, finally, people are paying attention. People are realizing that it's exciting. It's fun to watch. There are stars. There are big names. And I think it's just, it's been a long time coming, and to see the growth, to see the investment, and, you know, to see people just genuinely rooting for women's sports, it's just, it's a really cool time to be a female athlete. It's a cool time to kind of push the game in a direction and set it up for players who will come after me as the players that came before me did for me. So it's just, it's an exciting time for sure.
Sophia Smith joining us here on the program. I'd like to get your thoughts. Alex Morgan recently retired for many, many years, was the face of women's soccer in the United States, done so many things. I want to get your thoughts on Alex Morgan, your relationship, and then maybe how she helped you along the way.
Yeah, I mean, Alex has changed this game forever. I mean, she, when you think of women's soccer, you think of Alex Morgan. It would not be where it is today without it. She's done so much work off the field, even when she knew herself might not benefit from it, but maybe the generations who come after her would. And I was fortunate enough to play with Alex for a few years, and she's just, I mean, she's an amazing teammate. She's an amazing player. She kind of took me under her wing a little bit and kind of just helped me grow into this national team. And she's always someone that I could look to for anything. I can text for advice. She's just, she's always been there for me. And I'm so excited for her in this next chapter of her life. I feel like she can walk away knowing that she did everything for this game. And it's players like me who are able to be in the position that I am because of players like her. And I just hope that she feels all the love, and deservedly so, because she has changed the game. And yeah, I mean, I'm going to miss seeing her out on the field, but I'm so thankful for the time that I had to be her teammate.
No question. I mean, you mentioned off the field, I mean, the equal pay, and she was really an advocate for the women's player to make sure that the women were getting paid equal to what the men were getting in soccer. Switching gears. So now this is why, Sophia, you can't believe everything that you read on the internet. So I read where you are into science fiction novels, but that's not really the case. You're into romance novels, right? Talk about that. What are you reading right now?
It's called The Windy City series by Liz Tomford. That's probably my favorite romance series that I've read. But yeah, not sci-fi, definitely just romance. I don't know where that came from, but when I read it, it's usually like a cute, like rom-com romance book.
Okay. Which one did you say you were into?
The series is called The Windy City series.
Okay. So does that translate necessarily for you to film or television?
Yeah, for sure. I love any like cheesy rom-com. I mean, any of that I will always watch. It's really the only things I watch. any like reality TV. Yeah, I love all that. I love like mindless shows where I don't have to follow a really complicated plot. I can just like watch and maybe like do something else while having it on. Yeah, it's relaxing to me.
Absolutely. So a couple of last thoughts. And so my understanding is you really competed with your sisters. You all competed against each other as you were growing up. And obviously that kind of competition amongst sisters makes you all better.
Yeah. I mean, growing up with two sisters was the best thing ever. They're both older than me. So growing up, you know, they played all the sports. I went to all their games and watch them, and honestly that's kind of how I got into playing sports, is I just wanted to be like my big sisters. And yeah, I mean, almost everything we did, at like card games, playing soccer, basketball in the backyard, everything was a competition. We all hated to lose, some more than others. But it was just the best environment to grow up in. I felt like I was pushed every day because I wanted to be just like my sisters, but at the same time, I mean, no one supported me more than them and my parents, and it was just a really good life to grow up in, and I definitely would not be where I am or the person or player that I am today without having two big sisters that I looked up to.
And then you mentioned your fiance, Michael Wilson, who of course plays in the National Football League, and can you speak to the support that he's given you? But really, I know the support that you all have given each other.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we kind of have, I mean, we've been through it all together, the ups and downs, the highs and lows, you know, wins, losses, injuries, all of that. And through all of it, we just are each other's rock and backbone, and kind of help put things into perspective. And yeah, he definitely is someone that I look up to. He is my fiance, but at the same time, he is so good at what he does. He does everything right in terms of like preparation, you know, how he takes care of his body. Like everything is like done to a T, and he's someone that I can always look to with stuff like that. But yeah, regardless of sports, regardless of all of that, we really just are each other's best friend and support each other and celebrate each other and just, you know, navigate this life with each other.
Last thought, Sophia, and we appreciate the time. I want to speak to your meteoric rise. You came out of college in 2020. In 2022, you lead your team to the championship, the NWSL championship. You're named the most valuable player. Also, you're named the U.S. Female Soccer Player of the Year. And in 2024, you win the gold medal. What have these last 4 years or so been like for you?
Yeah, I mean, they've been a lot. Like, they've been, I think I've felt every emotion I possibly could these last 4 years in terms of how soccer has gone. Obviously, you know, the World Cup last year didn't go as planned, was pretty gut-wrenching, just a very hard time. And then to turn that over, you know, almost a year from that and to win an Olympic gold medal is like the highest of highs you could possibly get to. And it's just, it's crazy how a sport can kind of have you go through this roller coaster of emotions. And I think for me, I've always just wanted to stay pretty even keeled through all of it because I recognize how high and how low you can get at, you know, even within a day, a good game, a bad game, whatever. So I just try and remain even keeled, keep a good head on my shoulders and, you know, just work every day to become the best version of myself and set small goals for myself. And, you know, the individual awards and that stuff comes with that. It's obviously just a cherry on top, but I really just love the everyday life of this, you know, this game that I play and showing up to training, playing with my friends and my teammates. I just try to enjoy it because I know I won't be able to play forever. So yeah, the last 4 years have definitely been, you know, I've had so many experiences and yeah, I'm just honestly just very grateful.
In 2022, she led the Portland Thorns to the NWSL championship where she was also named that league's most valuable player that year. 2022 U.S. Soccer Female Athlete of the Year. Also winning a gold medal with the U.S. Women's National Team in this past year's Olympics. Sophia Smith, one of the faces of soccer, joining us here on the program. Sophia, really appreciate the time. Continued success in all you do.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
It was great to have you, Sophia, and you can react to anything that Sophia Smith had to say. Hit us up via X at BoxToRow, BoxToRow. Up next, we're talking with Miami Dolphins linebacker Quentin Bell, formerly of Prairie View A&M. This is your weekly edition of the HBCU Blitz, powered by BoxToRow. I'm Donald Ware. First, I'm going to take you to Salem, Virginia, for the CIAA championship game, appropriately between two Virginia schools, Virginia State and Virginia Union. We'll pick things up late in the first quarter. No score. Virginia Union driving.
Jada Byers back in at running back. Union trying to strike first here. Double tight end set. Hand off left side. Byers. He was stacked up at the line of scrimmage, and he got in. Touchdown, Virginia Union.
From 2 yards, and the Panthers led 7-0 in this low-scoring affair. Let's move to the third quarter. Late in the third quarter, Virginia Union leading 10-3. Virginia State on the move.
Third and goal from the Union 7. Romello Williams back to throw. Fires in the end zone.
Tyleek Ray on the reception, and just like that, we were tied at 10 apiece. Now, to early in the fourth quarter, Virginia Union with possession, looking to untie the game.
Mark Wright fakes a handoff, throwing in the end zone, and it's caught by Vic. Touchdown, Virginia Union.
From 23 yards, and the Panthers led 17-10. Virginia State would get a 21-yard field goal by Joshua Campbell in the fourth quarter to pull to within 17-13. Now, with under 60 seconds remaining, Virginia State, one more opportunity to try and win it.
Williams back to throw, has plenty of time. Fires to the right, and it's intercepted by Davis for Union. He's inside the 25, running wide to the 20, still running around, and now he takes a knee with 12 seconds left, and the Panthers will be the CIAA champions.
John Emmett on WVST. Virginia Union now back-to-back CIAA champions, defeats Virginia State 17-13. Will play at Wingate in the first round of the Division II playoffs. To Montgomery, Alabama for a SWAC East matchup between Alabama State and Jackson State. ASU needing this to keep pace with the Tigers. Let's pick things up in the third quarter. Jackson State with the 7-3 lead, looking for more.
Morgan again from the shotgun. He tosses across the middle to Dupree. He makes the catch. He's inside the 30, down to the 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Jackson State. Jamalen Dupree, the grandson of the great Marcus Dupree, extends JSU's lead to 13-3.
The extra point was good, and the Tigers led 14-3 in less than 90 seconds remaining. Alabama State looking to answer.
Key from the shotgun, hands to Kenzie. Kenzie finds a hole on the right side. He's across midfield, and Kenzie is gone. No one will catch him. He takes it 46 yards. Touchdown, Hornets.
And we had a ball game, the Hornets pulling to within 14-10. Now let's move late to the fourth quarter. Still 14-10. Alabama State with possession.
Hornets from their own three. Key taking the snap from the end zone. Here comes the pressure, and Key is sacked for the safety. Ashton Taylor came through for the sack, and Jackson State puts two more on the board. Wow.
Tell them about it, Hall of Famer Rob J. On the JSU Sports Network, the Tigers would hold on to defeat Alabama State 16-10 and wrap up the SWAC East. And who would the Tigers play? Well, let me take you to Baton Rouge for the matchup between Southern and Arkansas Pine Bluff. We'll pick things up in the third quarter. Southern leading 14-6, looking for more.
Play action pass, here's the throw, and perfect pass! Cam Jefferson's got it, he's got to take it to the house! Touchdown for the Jaguars.
That was Chris Powers on the Jaguars radio network. Jefferson, 71-yard touchdown reception from Jalen Woods. The big play in the game as the Jaguars defeated Arkansas Pine Bluff 31-9. The SWAC championship game is set when the JSU Tigers host the Jaguars on December the 7th. The winner of that game will take on MEAC champ South Carolina State in the Celebration Bowl on December the 14th. Box to Row, the radio show, airs weekly on radio stations across the country, as well as Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific, on Sirius XM College Sports Radio, Channel 84. To listen to the show or for more information, visit BoxToRow.com. Let's keep things moving here on Box to Row. We're joined by a gentleman, as a matter of fact, who was a seventh-round pick in the 2019 National Football League draft by the then Oakland Raiders. I tell you what, he's been on a bit of a tear. Got his first sack in his career a couple of weeks ago. Linebacker for, of course, the Miami Dolphins, Quentin Bell, joining us here on Box to Row. What's going on, Quentin? Welcome to the program.
What's going on, man? Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Couple of straight wins for you guys. Got off to the slow start. You've won a couple of games here. The last over the Raiders, your thoughts on the win over the Raiders and the two straight wins for the Dolphins?
Oh, man, honestly, just, great win at home that we really, really needed. We needed to get a win at home. I think as a team, we're just trying to put together complete games. And I think that we're on the way to doing that, getting better every single week, trying to stack these wins. Again, that was a great win at home, two in a row, looking to get three here going into this week. So it's been really good.
And then you were able to do what you did in front of a national audience, a strip sack, as a matter of fact, sort of speak to that in that victory over the Rams.
Oh, man, that was a must-win situation for us. And we played a really, really good game as a team. That was it's also my hometown. I'm from Long Beach, California, born and raised. So just being able to play for the first time in my city was also amazing. Prime time Monday night game, and also to get my first sack, in my hometown on Monday night, was just an amazing feeling, an amazing experience for me and my family. So that was a great game for us as a team, and also a great game for me individually. And we got the win, so it made it even better. But definitely a core memory for me and my family that we'll never forget.
Did you have to solicit some extra tickets? Obviously, right? Everybody wanted to come see you play. You're out west now.
Of course. I definitely had a nice big section up there in the stands for me that week, for sure.
No doubt about it. Quentin Bell of the Miami Dolphins joins us here on Box to Row, linebacker, as, of course, The Dolphins are coming off the victory over the Raiders, and we want to talk, of course, about the upcoming game against the Patriots. Can I take you – let me ask you about this because, again, 2019 NFL draft, you're drafted in the seventh round by the then, as I mentioned, Oakland Raiders. It's been sort of a deal where you've been with five teams now. You know what I mean? And it's sort of a business when you're talking about the National Football League finally sticking because you even signed as a practice squad guy last year to the Dolphins, and now you're doing really well. Can you speak sort of to the business side of football and sort of the matriculation of the moving you've had to done over these years or had to do over these years?
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. I think that's the part that a lot of people on the outside don't really get to see or really understand too well, just because they're on the outside of it. But I think that it's been a roller coaster. And what's been the most important thing for me is just continuing to believe in myself, my ability, and continue to just understand, hey, you know, God put me in the right decision my whole entire life, and He wouldn't put me through anything that I wouldn't be able to handle. And so I just continue to work, continue to improve my game, whether that be on a practice squad, whether that be on an active roster, whether that be in the offseason training, just continue to get better and work my game. And, you know, I do believe that a big part of the NFL can be in certain situations, right place, right time. And, you know, when opportunities present themselves, you need to be ready for it. And so it was a blessing that I was able to sign here to the practice squad last year and do the great things that I did last year. And then I had an opportunity to re-signed to come back here with training camp this year. So I just kept attacking every single day last year like it was a game week and like I was going to play and continue to get better. And then coming into this season, just, really focusing on having a really good camp and showing the coaching staff and the team what I could do and how I could help this team win games. And ultimately, like I said, just continue to believe in myself through all the ups and downs, I think, which is the most important thing.
No doubt. You've definitely done that. I wonder, though, as you're going through this process, how, you know, does it play on the psyche in terms of being with all of these different teams? In other words, getting cut by these teams. You still continued on. You still fight. Again, you're in a good situation. But how does that sort of play on your psyche a bit over these years?
I mean, yeah, no, it's definitely mentally draining. You know, it can get mentally draining. It can get mentally exhausting. I think that once you – I mean, I've been through it a few times, you know, obviously, as you know, and I think that at some point I was like, you know what, we don't have time to feel bad for ourselves. You know, we have to keep working, you know, because this has been a dream of mine and it would always be a dream of mine. Just because I got cut by a team or whatever, the dream wasn't over. And that's how I attacked it. And so whenever a new opportunity presented itself at a new team, it was a new opportunity. You know, it was a new way to, get around new eyes and just continue to improve my game. And so I think that, yeah, I mean, it got tough at times, but I have a great family, a great team around me, a great group of people that lifted me up through my dark days and just continue to, you know, invest in me and help me invest in myself. And like I said, just continue to believe in myself with the people around me. That was the main thing.
And I assume a lot of that would be, hey, look, you can only do what you can do. You can only control what you can control. In these various situations, you left it all out on the field. Sometimes it's just what's meant for you is meant for you.
Absolutely. Like you said it, control what you can control. That's the biggest thing. And I think at some point, you know, a lot of guys in the league, especially in positions like mine, that's what you kind of realize. Like, you know what, I'm just going to do me and continue to get better. And I'm going to let the rest take care of itself. And that's kind of been my mindset, you know, definitely the last few years as I learned, you know, and grown in the NFL.
Quentin Bell, of course, of the Miami Dolphins linebacker, played his collegiate ball at Prairie View A&M, joins us here on the program. We'll talk a little bit about that later on. So you had such a great – you had a great training camp, first of all. But it was one day in particular that Mike McDaniel said Quentin Bell's the best player on the field. And then you got to, what, control the PA playlist the next day? What was on that playlist come Monday?
Oh yeah, the orange jersey day. Yeah, orange jersey day. Yeah, that was a great feeling too. Just, you know, I felt like I was having, you know, a pretty just consistent camp, and I, you know, and to be recognized by the head coach and control the music that day, that was a big compliment for me. But a lot of future, man. I'm a big future guy, big Young Thug guy, big Gunna guy, a big hip hop guy, man. So a lot of hip hop, you know, some really turned up stuff, some mellow stuff, you know, not a nice good mix through practice to get my guys going, you know. So it was a really good day.
Now wait a minute. Now okay, so is it LA specifically or Long Beach or somewhere in the middle? Is that where you're from specifically?
Long Beach.
So wait a minute. You don't have no Snoop Dogg in the mix? Like what's up, Quentin? Like, you got some Snoop in the definitely. Mix?
Yeah, no, I definitely got some Cali music in my, you know, in my playlist as well. You know, you can't leave my Cali music out.
No doubt about it.
Definitely.
Yeah. A couple of more thoughts with Quentin Bell, who joins us here on the program. How does one go? It's interesting. Like you may, you know, maybe you're playing fullback and you switch to linebacker or vice versa, or somebody's playing quarterback and they go to wide receiver or vice versa. How does one switch from a wide receiver to a linebacker?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a crazy story. My last year at Prairie View, we wound up getting a whole new coaching staff. I was sub receiver in the beginning of the year, you know, and doing that. And one of the defensive coaches, Coach Middleton, Coach Todd Middleton, shout out to him. He called me to his office and he basically was like, "Hey, man, you know, I think that we have an opportunity for you on this side of the ball to come in pass rush and play defensive end." And initially hearing that it sounded crazy to me, you know, because I hadn't played defense since high school at that point. And in high school, I didn't play defensive end. You know, I played DB, a little bit of linebacker. So it was crazy to hear that. But you know what? I started thinking about it, and he started talking about opportunities in the NFL and different things like that. And I was like, you know what? I felt like in my 3 years at receiver, I hadn't really did much to get any professional looks, any kind of NFL attention. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to look back on this and say, you know what, I wish I would have maybe tried that. And so I took a chance. And I remember the first day I went out there in spring ball and, you know, and had the defensive jersey on, and the rest is history. I think that's probably one of the best, if not the best decision I've made in my life. You know, I think taking that chance. And shout out to, you know, the guys at Prairie View that helped me make that decision and brought that opportunity to me. That would never been something I would have been able to do by myself. You know, they definitely brought the opportunity to me. And I thought about it, talked to my dad about it. And again, I think one of the best decisions I've ever made. Changed my life for sure.
No doubt about it. Three last thoughts. What do you remember most about those days at PV? And how did you end up at Prairie View A&M all the way from Long Beach? Well, it's not that far, but I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah. When I was in high school, so I played both sides of the ball. Transferred to Coastal Mesa High School from Long Beach Poly to my junior year. And then going into my senior year, I had a lot of college attention. No offers yet, but I had college attended from some good schools. I wound up getting hurt in the scrimmage going into my senior year, so I missed half the season. And I had a pretty good year in five games at receiver. It definitely wasn't a bad year. It was a decent year to just play five games. But didn't wind up getting an offer. And so I wound up going to Riverside City College. I ran track there. Did not play football there for a year. And we got a call from Prairie View. And they, you know, said they wanted me to play football and they would allow me to run track as well, which is something I was big on back then. I was a big track guy back then. And so took a visit there. And that was one of the few offers I had where I was going to be able to play football as well. And I did want to play football. And so ultimately, that's how I ended up there. You know, it was, you know, again, it's one of those things where I was like, hey, you know, I don't think I'd ever been to Texas before that point, but took a visit and I liked it. And I was like, hey, you know, they're going to let me ball and run track. So let's do it. And I think I mean, there's so many great memories I have at Prairie View, man, with those guys and that team. But I would definitely say homecoming every year was amazing, man. The homecoming game in itself was crazy. And then just the homecoming festivities, I would say just homecoming. I mean, if you ever been to a homecoming at HBCU, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a great experience, a great time. So
yeah, I'm a Morgan guy, so I know exactly what you're talking about. What were your thoughts on the hit that Tua Tagovailoa took earlier this year, and then how he's playing since he's returned?
That's our guy, and you never want to see any of your teammates hurt and go down like that, especially like that. Just blessed that he, you know, he's recovered well and he's playing amazing ball for us. You know, he's our guy, man. He's an amazing quarterback, and the things that he's doing right now, man, I'm watching him play, just jaw dropping. He's an amazing guy off the field and just an amazing quarterback too.
And then last thought, your thoughts on, of course, the Patriots, who the Dolphins host on Sunday, but then also having to turn right back around on Thursday, on Thanksgiving for a game.
We got a division opponent coming up this week, and that's a huge game. That's a huge game. So we are preparing. You know, every game is a playoff game for us, you know, now. So we are preparing to win, and we're not taking these guys lightly at all. And, you know, tomorrow would be two games in 1 week in 7 days. But that's the NFL. You know, sometimes you have weeks like that. So you have to prepare and recover and, you know, get your bodies back and play a game and get ready to play one more. You know, it's all about preparing and being professional, being pros. Rest and recovery is what something that we're emphasizing this week. To get ready for this, you know, for this two-game stretch this week. So,
Miami Dolphins linebacker Quentin Bell, formerly of Prairie View A&M, joins us here on Box to Row. As mentioned, the Dolphins host the Patriots on Sunday. Quentin, great to catch up with you, man. Continued success to you and the Dolphins.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you.
Up next here on Box to Row, we're talking Bayou Classic, and I've got more tickets to give away.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-811-3471. 800-811-3471. 800-811-3471. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-811-3471.
It's Donald Ware from the Press Box to Press Row.
Let's continue here on Box to Row. Of course, the Bayou Classic is upcoming and going to be taking place on next Saturday, the 51st Bayou Classic between Grambling and Southern. But it's not just the football game. It's all of the events, the Thanksgiving Day Parade. You've got all of these various events. It's been a couple of years since I've been to the Bayou Classic, but it was a wonderful time. Anytime you're in New Orleans, it's a wonderful time. And the spokesperson for, in fact, the Bayou Classic is Candace Brock, who joins us right now here on Box to Row to talk some Bayou Classics. How are you, Candace?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So let's speak. I mean, the game speaks for itself. This is the 51st annual Bayou Classic. But speak to how things kick off. I think it may even kick off, before the Thanksgiving Day Parade. Am I correct?
We do have like our press and media conference on that Monday where we really kind of start, you know, spreading the word and making sure that everyone's aware that we're coming. And then we really kick things off Thursday, like you said, at that Thanksgiving Day Parade. I always like to say it's a great way to kick off the holiday. You know, before you eat too much food or get too full on the turkey, get on out there and check out the parade.
Yeah, no, it's no question about it. Is there anything different maybe this year for the 51st? I mean, obviously the 50th was the 50th, but anything different maybe this year than perhaps we've seen in years past?
Of course, every year, you know, we always try to do it bigger and better. I can honestly say our Fan Fest, we got a big name. So if you haven't heard, do you want me to just go ahead and spill the beans
spill
on
it.
That one?
Hey, look, we like breaking news here on Box to Row. Spill it. It's all good.
So for Fan Fest, this is our absolutely free concert, which is right before Bayou Classic. We are presenting the biggest boss, Rick Ross.
Wow.
So you get to come out there and see that concert absolutely free. And that's right out front the Caesars Superdome in Champion Square. So that's a pretty big deal this year. We'll also have Webby performing, TZ, a couple of other acts, some local DJs, and Wild Wayne will be hosting that. So it's a big deal this year. Y'all get on out there and make sure you see the biggest boss, Rick Ross.
It doesn't get any bigger than the biggest boss, Rick Ross, who, of course, has HBCU ties, having played football at Albany State. That is absolutely tremendous to be able to get a gentleman like that. Candace Brock, of course, spokesperson spokesperson for the Bayou Classic, joining us here on Box to Row as we talk about the Bayou Classic. Candace, speak to, I guess, maybe those that would say, those that are football people, that are sports people, right? Like, I consider myself that. I like some of the other ancillary things, but at the end of the day, we know Southern has wrapped this thing up. Southern is going to participate in the SWAC championship game. Mm-hmm. Sell us on why people that are true football fans that say, well, the game doesn't mean a whole lot, why they should, in fact, come to the Bayou Classic.
Oh, no. I mean, the Bayou Classic is such a big rivalry between Grambling and Southern. And so, as you said, you know, as far as the Bayou Classic rankings go, right now, Southern is the annual series lead. They have 26 wins in comparison to Grambling's 24 wins. So, you know, it's always a big deal whoever wins this game because now they've got bragging rights for the next year. And not to mention this year, both Southern and Grambling have new head football coaches. So Southern's got Terrence Graves, who's their new head football coach. And then Grambling announced Mickey Joseph, who's their head football coach. So it's going to be a big deal to see what both of these coaches can do for the teams this year.
And it's a really big deal, right, to have NBC and NBC Sports a part of this, right? Can you speak to that?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's going to be televised on NBC, and this is actually one of the few HBCU games that is televised nationally. So definitely a big deal that you can actually check this out on NBC, and they even actually air some of the halftime show, which I know a lot of people always want to be able to check out as well.
Candace Brock of the Bayou Classic joining us here as we talk some Bayou Classic and, of course, the Thanksgiving Day Parade. Now, what is that? Is that 3 p.m. Central Time? Is that what time it starts?
Yes, that is correct. We'll be marching through the streets of downtown New Orleans. We do a round trip where we start off at the Caesar Superdome, and then we just take to the streets. We've got signature floats, throws, and more than 40 total units. Plus, we also have participation by a lot of our top New Orleans area high school bands. So for anyone who's never really been to Mardi Gras, I feel like it's a great little taste of that. And like I said, we've got those signature throws. And because we are presented by Procter & Gamble, they even give out a lot of their items as well. So I can tell you, like last year, I was walking away with Tide and all types of different, you know, things, household items that you could use. So you certainly want to get out there and pick up some of the free gifts as well as the throws and different things that we'll be handing out throughout the parade.
No doubt about it. How has this, can you, because again, if you're talking about something in its 51st year, it's obviously had tremendous success. It's not only probably the biggest event as far as HBCUs are concerned, but it's one of the bigger events culturally anywhere, mm-hmm. right? So how have you really seen this grow, the Bayou Classic, over the years?
You know, honestly, I remember being probably either high school or college where I first went to a Bayou Classic. And, you know, at that point, it was just like Battle of the Bands on Friday. And then you had the game on Saturday. And that was pretty much it. And so then once I got older and got to attend, you know, as an adult and even getting to now where I'm working with it, just seeing how now there are so many additional festivities that surround this. You know, now you've got Thursday, Friday, Saturday with just a plethora of different things. You know, like you said, we've got the Thanksgiving Day Parade. On Friday, we even have our Business at Bayou, which is a Black Small Business Showcase. So that's a great opportunity for Black small businesses to showcase what they have going on and even learn more about networking opportunities. We do a coach's luncheon. We also do, like we said, the Battle of the Bands, but now we've expanded that where we even have the Greek show that ties on to that. And we've also now we're doing our third annual Bayou Classic Invitational High School Battle of the Bands, which is a big deal because it really allows our younger generation to get out and perform at that event and see what it's like if you're to attend an HBCU and still continue in a band. So it's just so many different pieces that now come with Bayou Classic, which is so much more than it was in years past. It's just amazing to see how it's grown over the years.
No doubt about it. Tell us how people can get tickets and can get involved.
Absolutely. You want to go ahead and get your tickets because it's going to be big. I mean, the 50th was big last year. And so for the 51st, we're going even bigger and better. So head on over to our website, mybayouclassic.com. We also have an app. So I encourage everyone to download the app. That will keep you in the know with all things Bayou Classic. Just go to your app store and search Bayou Classic. That's how you can get that. We're also on social media at Facebook, My Bayou Classic, or on Instagram at Bayou Classic 74. And tickets are on sale. They're on sale at both campuses and either at Ticketmaster. But definitely head on over to our website, mybayouclassic.com. That's where you can get tickets. And we also have hotel packages, so you can get discounts on the, you know, recommended hotel stays for your stay while you're in New Orleans.
So you heard all of that. Of course, those that listen to us in the Grambling area, Monroe, etc., go get your tickets. Those that listen to us in Baton Rouge, go get your tickets. Those that listen to us in New Orleans, go get your tickets. Those that listen to us everywhere, go get your tickets to the 51st Bayou Classic. Candace
yes.
Brock, the spokesperson for the Bayou Classic, joining us here on Box to Row. Candace, really appreciate the time. We really look forward to this year's Bayou Classic.
Thank you so much for having me.
So there you have it, the information you need to know about the Bayou Classic. On that note, today's trivia question, and again, it's an opportunity for you to win two tickets to the Bayou Classic. All you have to do is follow us on Twitter at Box to Row, BoxToRow, or X as it were, Twitter, or X as it's known now, BoxToRow. Follow us there and then answer this trivia question correctly. Southern University has three Pro Football Hall of Famers. One of them played in the Bayou Classic. Who was that? Again, Southern has three Pro Football Hall of Famers. One of them played in the Bayou Classic. Who is that? Again, answer the question correctly, but first you must follow us on X at Box to Row, BoxToRow. Answer the question correctly, and we'll give you two tickets to the Bayou Classic. The first three people to answer this question correctly, to follow the instructions, meaning follow us on Twitter and answer the question correctly, will receive two tickets to the Bayou Classic. So again, look, you've got some playoff games. Obviously, Virginia Union is going to be in the playoffs at Wingate. Good win for Virginia Union last week over Virginia State in the SWAC championship game. And then Miles is hosting a home game in the Division II playoffs against Carson Newman. And you're talking about, and matter of fact, we had both Dr. Alvin Parker, the head coach at Virginia Union, and Sam Shade, the head coach of Miles, on the program last week. If you missed those conversations, you can visit our website at BoxToRow.com and click on the Box to Row podcast to listen to those conversations. But Miles has won 9 straight ball games, including last week's SIAC championship game over Clark Atlanta. So the Golden Bears are playing some outstanding football. Again, Tennessee State, big game against SEMO on Saturday, a big time football game, and we'll see what happens with this Tigers team. If the Tigers can win, then the Tigers still need some help, but have a shot at the Big South OVC crown, and also this game is at home at Nissan Stadium. Look, my time is about up. I thank you for yours. Thank you to Sophia Smith. Also, thank you to Quentin Bell and Candace Brock for joining us today here on Box to Row. For more information on the program, visit our website, BoxToRow.com. And always remember to support those that support Yo, Box to Row is produced by BW Communications.
Express yourself. express yourself. You don't know.